Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Excited for this next segment. We haven't talked MMA in a couple of weeks. Whenever we talk MMA, we bring in Larry Pepe, who is just a guru, genius when it comes to the sport. Larry's joined us for quite some time to talk MMA, and he's joining us again right now to break down Khabib McGregor, which is going down this Saturday at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Larry, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and thanks for the intro. I'm going to save that one, I think.
It's all true. I love your insight, and we actually have a very interesting card coming up this Saturday. I think the build-up, maybe it's one of those fights as far as the main event goes where it's more exciting outside of the cage than it is inside the cage. I mean, I use that term a lot in boxing. We've had fights like that multiple times. Typically, Floyd Mayweather fights were typically more exciting outside the ring for the casual fan than they were inside of the ring because of his domination. And I'm wondering, Larry, and I want your opinion on this straight out, is that the case with this particular fight, Khabib McGregor?
I don't think so. Well, let me go back. Yes, but not to the same degree as a Floyd fight, for example. Like, I always used to feel with Floyd fights, like, as masterful as he was and everything else that goes along with it, the build-up was always significantly more interesting and entertaining than his fights because he's such a defensive wizard, right? So you knew going into a Floyd fight, unless you were stupid, that you were probably going to watch a 12-round decision, and you were going to probably watch another boxer, insert name here, swing and miss at Floyd 80 or 90% of the time. And that's what a Floyd fight is. But the build-up to the Floyd fights, the 24-7s or, you know, the all-accesses and the videos and the press conferences and things like that, that was really the entertaining part. In this case, I feel like the build-up, to be really honest, Jordan, has been virtually non-existent. McGregor did not want to do like a press conference tour, like the world tour type thing they did with Floyd. Not saying they should have gone to 10 places like they did with Aldo. That was ridiculous. But they should have at least done, I would think, 4, because McGregor is gold on the mic, and he can sell a fight like no one else in MMA. They've only had one press conference. They didn't let the public in, which I know they did the same thing with Triple G and Canelo. I think that's a disaster. I think not having the public there makes it feel like, you know, they're sitting in the back of a restaurant somewhere with a couple of people asking them questions. So that didn't go over very well. He was unhinged there, like usual, but without that energy of the fans and all that type of thing. I just don't feel like the buildup has been significant here. The difference here is that both of these fighters have very potent offenses and ways to end this fight. So unlike a Floyd fight where you go in and say, hey, it's going to be entertaining as hell in the buildup, and then we're going to get a decision and probably be disappointed, I think this fight, this specific Conor McGregor fight particularly, there's been very little buildup, so not a whole lot to be entertained by outside the cage. And I actually think the fight will deliver because either Conor's going to land a big shot and finish him, or Khabib is going to maul him like a rabid bear on the ground and finish him, in my opinion. So I think either way, fans are going to walk away with more entertainment inside the cage on this one than outside, which is not always the case with these type of fights.
Well, Larry, when I look at a matchup, and I'm gonna reference Canelo Triple G here, I always look for real animosity. And you can typically tell when something is being fabricated to sell a fight or something is real. Okay, Canelo and Triple G do not like each other. I think that was obvious by the perception of that they'd never really had anything choreographed. You know, there was no little insults, childish insults. It was strictly business. And when the two stared each other in the eyes, things got heated for the very first time. To me, that points to real animosity. Conor is a salesman. Khabib, in my opinion, has real animosity towards Conor McGregor based off of everything that happened with the bus attack. And I believe that's something that intrigues me in this fight. I think there's real hate between these two.
Yeah, there's no question that the Israel on, no question, you're 100% right. This is not, you know, people like Dana White talks about that, you know, Connor is the greatest ever at mental warfare and all this other stuff. But, of course, he's in love with Connor, so you have to factor that into everything that he says. This is not, I've seen people try to spin this that, oh, Connor is masterful, he's getting a Habib emotional and everything. First of all, I don't know that Habib gets emotional. I didn't see any sign of it. But there is no question that Habib Nurmagomedov wants to destroy and punish Conor McGregor. I do have a question of how much of the animosity on Conor's part is real, because this is what he does all the time. So you say, well, how many times am I going to go to that well and think it's real? I know the bus attack, people as oh, look at the bus attack, has to be real. I don't even completely buy that, because to be perfectly honest, if he hated Habib so much and he really wanted to get at Habib, which you would suggest would be the case if somebody truly despises someone and wants to hurt them, you don't throw a dolly at a bus. You show up a half hour earlier, you walk right into where Habib is doing press, and you go over and try to punch him. I mean, he knew where he was when he was there and would have had access to him if he really wanted a piece of him so bad. I think, to be perfectly honest, I think the emotions play to Habib's favor in this fight. Habib is not, I mean, look, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I will eat my hat if Habib walks in, chin up, and sprints across the cage a la Jose Aldo and swings wildly and sets himself up for a counterpunch knockout. I will be stunned. I will probably be more stunned than any analyst in MMA or combat sports if that were to happen, because Habib's not that guy. Habib knows what he does well, and he makes you stop him from doing that. And for people who watch the Ally Aquinta fight and they go, oh, look, he stood with Al for the last three rounds. If he does that with Connor, well, first off, I don't think Connor's going to be there in the third round. But the difference is, yeah, he stood with him and outstruck him about 8-1 statistically. And he, at that point, had already hurt Al and worn Al down. And I just don't think he had any fear at that point or any concern at that point of being knocked out. So if that's the fight you're going to point to as the Conor backer, if you're going to point to the Michael Johnson fight where Michael Johnson landed one good punch on Habib in the face and it looked like it stopped Habib from coming forward for a second, didn't knock him down, didn't have him disoriented, didn't have him grabbing the cage so he wouldn't fall, none of that, just kind of, it looked like he misstepped for literally 1 second, and 15 seconds later, Michael Johnson was on the ground getting annihilated. If that's what you're going to point to, I don't think that's the case. So I don't see Habib being emotional, but Connor looks over the top emotional and like he's got a million pints of adrenaline flushing through his veins, and this is a guy who historically has terrible cardio. So if you combine emotion with bad cardio to begin with, that gas tank probably empties sooner, and we've already seen it empty predominantly about 7 or 8 minutes in. So I don't think that bodes well for Conor backers.
Again, we're being joined right now by Larry Pepe, MMA expert, as we talk about the upcoming fight coming this Saturday, Conor McGregor going toe-to-toe with Habib. I got to ask you this, Larry. Is it dangerous from a UFC's perspective to give Conor McGregor, what was it, a 6 or 8 fight contract that they just gave him, and put him in the cage with Habib immediately? And the reason I say that, I know that losses in boxing are different than losses in the cage, but most of what the draw to the casual, lighthearted MMA fans with Conor McGregor is the excitement at the press conferences. That kind of fades away every time you suffer a loss, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it does. I think the fight to make, quite frankly, was the Nate Diaz fight. I think, you know, the trilogy fight, easily marketable. Conor doesn't hold a belt. Diaz doesn't hold a belt. I felt like that was the path to go. Not that Diaz is an easy fight for him. Let's not forget, he got choked out in the first fight in the second round. And in the second fight, he barely eked out a 5-round decision over Nate. So a third fight would be intriguing. It would have sold more than any other fight, more than this one, in my opinion. and would have been a less dangerous fight for him. Not saying he wins it. It's a 50-50, 55-45 fight in Conor's favor. But that is a more winnable fight, in my opinion, and would have made more money. That said, signing him to a long-term deal, that's fine because you don't want to give him the ability to leverage you to go somewhere else, so I understand that. But Khabib as the first fight back, you're right. This is a terrible stylistic matchup for him, in my opinion, and a fight that he is, in my opinion, very likely to lose. So to take the shine off that star is never good in any sport. And now, let's be honest, if he loses to Khabib, he got dominated by Floyd, so everyone will write that off, it was boxing. And then before that, he went 1-1 against Nate Diaz. So his record, the last four times people will have seen him fight, is three losses, probably all by stoppage, and one eked out majority decision. But he's got a unique way of selling. People like his shtick. But to your point, you can only lose so much, and then your shtick sounds really like shtick because you're like, okay, that all sounds good, but the last four times I saw you walk to a ring or a cage, you lost.
Right, exactly. And after a while, that does wear, I know, on the casual and lighthearted fans. I mean, look, Mike Tyson was the same exact way in boxing. I mean, it was the same concept. You know, I talk to casual boxing fans all the time. They loved Mike Tyson, but they always bring up the era that they loved Mike Tyson. And for a reason, Larry, and for good reason.
Yep, I agree.
Let's talk about the fight card in general. If we go to 229, I mean, I always like to ask if you would purchase this fight card, especially knowing that we have Khabib and McGregor, we get Ferguson and Pettis. I know OSP is on this fight card going up against Reyes' first pay-per-view fight. Do you like the fight card enough to pay for it?
I do, really, because of the main event. You know, I think the main event, you are getting a unique opportunity to see in Khabib, you know, a guy who's 26-0 in MMA, has never lost a round in MMA. And then in Conor's fights are rarely boring, and he is an elite striker. He really is. I mean, for anything I've said, I don't think that he is a fantastic striker. He judges distance extremely well, has exceptional movement in the cage, and has power. I think his power is a little overrated. When he goes up to 155, at 145, his power is crushing. At 155, quite frankly, it hasn't been, absent Eddie Alvarez. But that said, you're getting a chance to see two fighters who are truly elite at what they do. And you're getting the ultimate chess match because you're getting, in my opinion, the ultimate striker versus grappler fight for the lightweight belt. So I think that's a big deal. I think, you know, Ferguson Pettis a couple of fights ago would have looked like a walkthrough for Tony Ferguson. Now it doesn't as much. I still favor Ferguson, but he is coming back from a bad knee injury that required surgery in a time frame that is months and months ahead of when we were told he would be able to fight. So you have to question, you know, is he 100%? And if he's not 100%, you know, how much do we buy Anthony Pettis' win over Michael Chiesa, which was impressive? He looked great in that fight. He got the finish, and is that going to be the resurgence of Anthony Pettis, the former lightweight champion? I don't totally buy that. But against what should not be 100% Tony Ferguson, how does that play out? And if they're similar fighters and that they both have unorthodox and very good stand-up and excellent jiu-jitsu. So I like that fight a lot. We're going to find out if Dom Reyes is the real deal because he's never fought anyone of OSP's caliber. OSP, a very good 205er, not championship level, but certainly not the bottom end of the roster either. So we'll find out more about Reyes. And then in the heavyweights, we have Derek Lewis and Alexander Volkov. I think Volkov wins that fight, but a very important fight for him because he's on a nice winning streak in a division that really does need contenders.
Larry, before I let you go, I want to get your assessment on once again on the McGregor-Habib fight. How does it end?
I think it ends with Habib mauling him on the ground. I think that, you know, if you're backing Conor, if you think he's going to win this fight, what you're really saying is that you think he's going to knock Habib out, because he's certainly not going to submit him. He's certainly not going to out-grapple him, for whatever the people in his camp are saying, which is certifiably insane. And he's unlikely to get a decision, because if it goes five rounds, it probably means Habib was taking him down repeatedly and beating him up on the ground. So if you're backing McGregor, if you're analyzing this fight and picking McGregor, what you're really saying is that he's going to land that one shot that either ends it or leads to the end, because he hurts Habib so badly. Okay, that all sounds good. You're going to tell me that Conor's got wicked power. Don't totally agree at 155, but that's fine. You don't have to be super powerful if you land the right spot with the right punch, and he is definitely capable of doing that. But now you got to turn and go, okay, who's he fighting? Well, he's fighting a guy who's 26-0, who's never lost a single round. A single round, Jordan, not a fight, a round in his entire 26-fight MMA career. And, oh, yeah, you're fighting a guy who's never been knocked down in 26 fights. Now, if you're the McGregor backer, you're going to tell, oh, he's never fought anybody like Conor. Well, maybe not. But he has been kicked in the face by Edson Barboza and didn't get knocked down. He has been punched flush by Edson Barboza, who's a powerful striker, by Ally Aquinta, who's known to be a powerful striker, by Michael Johnson, who's known to be a powerful striker, and guess what? Never knocked down. So that's what you're betting on. You're betting that what has never happened in 26 fights is going to happen with that one-punch knockout, because absent that, I think Khabib wears him out. I think he takes him down. I don't think Conor can even get up from underneath Habib, because his control is so good. But if he does get up, Habib's going to be right back on his hips, wearing him out, taking him down again, or trying to, and making him expend energy. And I think he probably finishes him in the second, at the latest, third round.
Larry Pepe, once again, joining us to talk MMA. Larry, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. I would invite them, because I'm trying to do less social media, I would invite them to go to peperadio.com, and it's very simple. They'll be able to enter just their email address and a first name or an initial, and then they'll get emails from me whenever I do any appearances like this with you, Jordan. And they can also follow me on Twitter at Larry Pepe, P-E-P-E.
Larry, always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time. We'll do it again soon.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you, Jordan.
Great to talk some UFC on the show. We don't do that hardly enough. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios. We'll put the final touches on this Wednesday edition of the show.